somehow it feels so many times like this is such an important message. You should get everything. But let me say this morning, everything we will be covering in this message, you need to get some grasp of. Because in our society, we have regressed to the stage the pagans were in Canaan when Israel conquered the land. God's purpose for creating man was for man to glorify Him. If man would glorify Him, this would fulfill man and bring mutual satisfaction. And when Lucifer became Satan, and after God had created man, Satan sought man's glory, I believe, through sin. By the way, our subject is demonology again. I thank Trent for those songs on the blood. So instead of fulfillment, man would have fun or enjoy pleasure, the pleasures of sin, for a season. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. He had every known enjoyment of the world. But Hebrews 11, 24 through 26 says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." End quote. It seems to me that the devil's substitute for godly fulfillment is fun or enjoyment or pleasure, at least to a large degree. That does not mean all enjoyable or fun things are wrong, but they must be in their rightful place. To gain fulfillment, man must live righteously. To live righteously, he must know the will of God and live by it. But after man sinned and received a sin nature, living righteously became something possible only through divine help. But living in sin comes perfectly natural. No help needed. Every time we sin, we fall for Satan's method. Every time we do right, we come in line with God's will and glorify Him. Thus goes the cosmic battle. Now, one of the death traps of demonism is the occult. This is the practice of what is called magic. By the way, I'm going to recommend several books for our library. There is so much material I cannot give you in these messages. But if you would be interested in reading, we'll make those books available in the library. The occult is one of the things we ought to be knowledgeable about in our day. As I see it, magic is the devil's substitute for miracles. Miracles are when God sets aside the laws of nature to do something in nature. Magic is when Satan or demons set aside the laws of nature to do something in nature outside of the natural. The occult always speaks of the presence of demons. Now, what I'm showing you is a history of demons, and that they were prevalent right throughout all of the Old Testament. So demons orchestrate the occult. By the way, the occult is steeply on the rise today in North America. So as we have seen already, man had not been in existence long when the occultic practices were learned and practiced. In history, we find occultic practices throughout Scripture in both Testaments and between. Furthermore, you can find them in every age after the New Testament was completed, and prophecy tells us that the age to come will have more, much more. With regard to the Old Testament, Merle Unger writes, "The wide extent of the magical arts may be comprehended from the fact that Scripture alone refers to their being practiced in Babylon, Ezekiel 21, Assyria, 2 Kings 17, Chaldea, Daniel 5, and Egypt, Exodus 7, and Canaan, Deuteronomy 18. It was practiced everywhere. In our last message, we began to look at the history of demonism in the Old Testament. We had come to point 6, demonism from the time of Joshua to the time of King Saul. And what we want to do this morning is take a closer look at Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. We are still in the time from Joshua to Saul. So it was read for us this morning, but I'd like us to turn there one more time, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I will read just verse 9 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So we're still in the time from Joshua to Saul. God instructed Israel to go into the land and remove every nation from there because of their occultic practices. So we begin with the first abomination listed in Deuteronomy chapter 18. God said, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire." We don't do this today, right? One of the ancient gods that was worshipped by the pagans around Israel was Molech. He was represented by the statue of a bull. Benoit and Barger say the statue of Molech that the pagan people and backslidden Israel used as an altar had its arms extended to receive its victims, like this. A fire would be built under the bull, which turned the arms red hot. As the idol heated, drums would be played and the people would writhe and scream and work themselves into a frenzy. Now, one of the reasons for the drums was so you couldn't hear the cries of the babies. Then at the appropriate time, they would bring the selected children, hand them over to the priests of Molech. The priests would take these children and lay them on the red-hot altar where they would burn to death. That is what is meant by passing your children through the fire. Human sacrifice. Now, I need to not tell you that this is a demonic practice resulting from doctrines of demons, telling us of the prevalence of demonism in their day. How could a nation like Israel, with laws, the laws of God and his divine warnings, fall into such sin? Well, I will not take time to give you examples of this happening today, but, by the way, there are real examples of this happening today, not in our country, I understand, but elsewhere. But I would not say that someday Canadian people from our own country may not practice something like this. Now, I don't know if they will or not, but when I see our own Albertan Conservative Party leader walk with pride at the head of the Gay Pride Parade, tell me what is not possible. How would those of us who are older, how would we have dreamed this possible when we were younger? And in one sense, one might say that abortion is nothing but human sacrifice. May there not be such a person here who gives this even a thought of possibility. You must see how those little babies suffer too when they are taken. The God of these babies of abortion are sacrificed, do you know to whom? The God of self. And the purpose is to obtain pleasure. Ray Comfort writes, in 2001, a survey conducted by the Alan Guttmacher Institute in New York found that 13% of abortion patients described themselves as born again or evangelical Christians. That is, of all those who actually murdered their own unborn children, nearly 1 in 8 professed faith in Jesus Christ. That is difficult, he writes, to reconcile with the fact that Christians are supposed to love God and love others as much as they love themselves. That was written over a decade ago. One can but conclude the numbers are higher today. And so in whatever form you find human sacrifice, one can know of certainty that demons are behind the practice. Now tell me, are demons behind abortions? Not a question, is there? Not a question. It is demonic. Let me read from our text once more for the second practice. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire or who practices witchcraft. What is witchcraft? By the way, you would be shocked at the amount of witches there are around today. I'm not talking not people we call witches. I'm talking about witches. I'm talking about our own country, our own province. The Hebrew word is kesem. This is divination, as the King James Version reads here as well, which is finding the answer to some question or the future by means of magic method. How many of you have heard of reading the tea leaves? Oh, yeah, I could list a whole bunch of practice here. That's what we have. You understand, by magic we mean methods derived from the powers of darkness. In the next message, I will give you some examples of this. Let me briefly take you to one. Turn to Ezekiel 21. You would not believe that godly nations would fall for stuff like this, but then we see it happening in our own day. Ezekiel chapter 21. When the king of Babylon went on the warpath to come, he came to a fork in the road. One led to Rabbah, the other led to Jerusalem. So look at verse 21. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of the two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows, he consults the images, he looks at the liver. Now there we have this practice. So the king of Babylon used divination to determine which road to take first. He shook the arrows, he consulted images, and he looked at the liver. And this is witchcraft. This is demonism. And we will look at it again in the next message. Now, how do psychics divine the future or answer questions? Well, there are many methods, such as palm reading. I mentioned reading tea leaves. How many of you have heard of the Ouija board? No secret. But I must warn that not all those who claim to practice magic are true practitioners. There's a lot of false stuff going on too, I think, but there are the real ones. Some may simply be guessing and do not have a lot of information, but they may make a fair amount of money doing their guessing. But there are those who are actually in touch with someone outside themselves, and these entities are demons. That is magic. There are plenty of Old Testament examples. We do well to be informed that these practices are not only things that happened thousands of years ago. Adolf Hitler was no stranger to demonic practices. He was in touch with the demonic world. Today, many are resorting to psychics. Benoit Barger writes, many celebrities employ personal psychics. But they are not alone. U.S. government agencies and policy departments, police departments, worldwide secretly use psychics. Our government allegedly spends millions each year on psychics who are supposedly able to tell the future. I remember the paper called the Free Press Weekly. Are there any old people here? Okay. I don't think it was free, but it was weekly. And it had a continued story of a woman who was a clairvoyant. I remember my mother reading these stories week by week as they came. Wikipedia says the term clairvoyance is used to refer to the ability to gain information about an object, person, location, or physical event through means other than known human senses. That is a form of extrasensory perception, ESP. End quote. I believe the woman's name was Jean Dixon. If I remember correctly, if someone had been lost in the woods, they would go to her, and she would go into her state, and she would tell them where to go and look for this person. And I understand that many times this actually did happen. If you want to know how popular this subject is today, You want to know? Type the word psychics into your search engines. You will never read all the stuff that comes. It is, as Dave Hunt has said, occultic invasion. Well, in our earlier passage, those who dwelt in the land of Canaan lost their right to possession of this land because they practiced these kinds of abominations. Our text then goes on like this: "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer." The Hebrew word here is anan, and comes from the root word meaning to make appear. The word anan is here translated as soothsayer. The King James Version says, "an observer of times." What is in view is one who can foretell the future through omens or such like. Barger and Benoit interpret this point as speaking of the sin of astrology. In an internet article by How Stuff Works, it says of this practice, "Astrology in the study is the study of the influence that distant cosmic objects, usually stars and planets, have on human lives. The position of the sun, stars, moon, planets at the time of the person's birth, not their conception, is said to shape their personality, affect their romantic relationships, and predict their economic futures, fortunes." Among other divinations, what most people know about astrology is their sign, which refers to one of the 12 constellations of the zodiac. This is a form of sun sign astrology, which is the astrology upon which newspaper horoscopes are based. How many are familiar with horoscopes? Okay. So. It is probably, I'm still quoting, "the simplest form because nothing more than the date of someone's birthday is needed to generate a sun sign horoscope. Many astrologers will tell you that this form of astrology is so simplistic that it produces very limited results. To produce a more accurate reading, astrologers check to see what sign each planet was in at the time of birth. The planets and signs combine with other elements such as houses and angles to form a complex and often very specific profile of a subject's personality, life, and future prospects." Recently, we were in a fast foods place, I think it was A&W, and they had their little paper on the table, and in the paper was the horoscope. "Your day is such and such a day, and you should buy this on the..." So I told you what to do. So you can find the horoscope in most newspapers in North America. Do you wonder what the Lord would say if he came down to our land? This is a very popular way to get instructions for life, but it is also a very sinful way. By the way, let me encourage here this morning. If you have dabbled in any of these things, come before the Lord God and say, "Lord God, I didn't recognize this is a sin. I want to ask you to cleanse me and remove anything from me that could have gotten there through this practice." Benoit and Barger talk about how a young man got involved in astrology through his apostate mother. That means she went to church at one time, and I quote, "Soon his life as a professional musician seemed to evolve around occult and mystic beliefs, in particular the horoscope that a bona fide witch had drawn for him on a scroll." Then they say, "If your child watches children's shows such as The Lion King, she may soon be just as Eric was, hooked on astrology. In one scene during the movie," you know, they say, when we talk about demonism, a lot of things, people say, amen. When we talk about present things, they say, not interested in hearing anymore. They say, "In one scene during the movie, the lead character Simba and his father are walking through the darkness. After Simba had just disobeyed his father, they look up to the stars, and his father says to Simba, 'Those are ascended kings who are willing to guide you.'" What is this? From the shelves in the children's section at your public library to the hit movies and toys today, the occult is being endorsed and promoted to our kids. End quote. Now, these writers would warn us today about numerous shows, that seem innocent and children's things that seem innocent enough, like the Smurfs. And may I warn you not to get involved in ever reading horoscopes or checking these things out for information. Don't tamper with these things. So we come now to the fourth item mentioned in Deuteronomy 18. It says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens." The Hebrew word here is nahash, and the idea here seems to be one who interprets omens. Omens are events or phenomena that occur that are seen by these interpreters as telling us something about the future. Now, I can't spend a whole lot of time on all of these points. If you are interested, you can read further. But one of our folk, Danny, here, was working at Fox Lake. I think it was quite a few years ago, was it, Dan? And during the time there, there was a little girl that drowned. And they searched for her for a number of days before they found her body. And when they found her, a native who worked where Danny worked said, "They found her. Now the spirits are going to be angry." He had interpreted an omen. And he interpreted it as a bad omen that the girl's body was found, which likely he thought, Danny thought, maybe the spirits had taken from them. Well, Danny didn't give it further thought, but the next day was the funeral, and right after they had the funeral, they had a very, very violent storm. And Danny said this native probably saw the look of unbelief in his face when he told him that this was a bad omen. And when he came to work, he looked at Dan and he said, "I told you so." That's the way it was. You know, we have demonism all around us. We may have it among us. We go back to our text once more. It says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer." I should just spend a lot of time here this morning. The word translated sorcerer in the New King James Version, I think, is better translated as the King James Version does, a witch or witchcraft. Benoit Barger called this point witchcraft. Now, let me ask, what is a witch? What is a witch? How do they look? Well, you can't really tell. Not a lot of times you can't. I'm not talking about when we name a person a witch. I'm talking about people who actually are in contact with demons. Today there are... by the way, it is someone with magic powers, usually a woman. And these powers are used for evil. Today there are many who are called white witches. The difference is that they use their magical powers for supposedly good things. Well, I can say that when it comes to witchcraft, once more, we could call North America invaded by the occult. Excuse me. Several years ago, my wife and I were driving. We listened to this radio talk show, and they had a woman on the talk show. We were listening in Edmonton, CBC, who was a witch. She was a white witch. She openly talked about her witchcraft. These claim to be good witches. A white witch on internet addressed this question: "What is a witch?" I asked the witch on internet, "What is this?" She said, "Well, a white witch, for many people, is a means of distinguishing practitioners of good and evil. White witchcraft means you worship Mother Nature." Do you know how many times I've found connection between witchcraft and Mother Nature here? Is that interesting? White witchcraft means you worship Mother Nature, the earth, the goddess, and the god. Witches celebrate all that the earth is and the cycles of the year, which in turn are our holidays, the Sabbats and the Esbats. You tune yourself into nature and use the elements around you, the planets, the sun, moon, herbs, flowers, trees, crystals, and colors. This will all help in your spell work. The term white witch is not used by witches like me. I never call myself a white witch, as like nature, I can be both good and dark. But I never use my craft for evil, as whatever you send out comes back to you threefold. Here, the doctrines of demons, huh? I practice spells, rituals, and other things. That term was adopted as a way of showing people who don't understand witchcraft that you are not evil and only do good magic. The term is not really used anymore. What does it mean to be a witch in today's modern society? Listen. It is great as it is only in the last 60 years that witches have been able to practice their craft out in the open. The witch is talking. Tools and other equipment is so much more available. Finding that people are much more open to the craft and its popularity has grown so much over the last 20 years. It also means others like psychics, mediums, and druids, etc., are able to practice as well out in the open. There's a key word for the occultic things, out in the open, North America. Note that she said white witches use good magic. That's like saying good demons. The United States Chaplain's Manual has a section devoted to witchcraft, according to Benoit and Barger. Now, why would they have a section on witchcraft in their religious manual? Because it is viewed as a viable religion in the United States of America. These writers tell us of an event where the First Lady of the United States at that time, Hillary Clinton, had her personal medium, a Texan named Jean Houston, do a seance on the roof of the White House in an effort to contact the deceased former First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt. I'm talking about Israel and Canaan way back there? No. David Benoit says that Eric Barger defines the New Age. This is worth jotting down. Here's how he defines it. I quote, "Any system of belief that tells you to look inside yourself for enlightenment, wisdom, or power." This is most helpful. "Any system of belief that tells you to look inside yourself for enlightenment, wisdom, or power." Then he says, "The same can be said for witchcraft as well." It's looking within. So these writers connect witchcraft with the New Age. They speak of the witch and author Laurie Cabot. She was able to convince Governor Michael Dukakis to appoint her the official witch of Salem. They write, "Appearing often on shows such as 60 Minutes and a variety of magazine programs, she has brought witchcraft into the public eye and no doubt drawn many to view it with less skepticism and more acceptance." There's our day. That's what's happening. Then they say that in a ceremony using a pentacle as an amulet, by the way, the warning, amulets, warnings, using a pentacle as an amulet, a conduit for power, she chanted, "Earth, air, fire, and water, and great spirit, I invoke the god and goddess within my body." Huh. New Age. In their book, they mentioned that at a public school in Portland, Oregon, they were not allowed to celebrate a traditional Christmas, but they were required to participate in the winter solstice program. Well, I understand that the winter and summer solstice equinoxes and such days as Halloween are holidays in the witch's religion. Once more, I remind you that for such practices, God gave the land of Canaan to Israel and had Israel drive them out of the land. By the way, they didn't do that, and it came back to haunt them all over the place. We move to the next point. "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells." The Hebrew word is chabar. The main idea of the word is to join together, bind together, etc. In magic or demonic influences, it is chanting or reciting of a magic spell. Webster's 1828 dictionary says it is to subdue or control by incantation or secret influence. And again, to subdue by secret power, especially by that which pleases and delights the mind. The idea, by the way, it's just like alcohol. That's really what it is. Then the idea, it's a drug. It's a drug for the mind. The idea of hypnosis certainly suggests itself here. Funk and Wagnall's dictionary says that hypnosis is, and I quote, a trance-like condition that can be artificially induced, characterized by an altered consciousness, diminishing the willpower and an increased responsiveness to suggestion. We visited a good pastor friend this summer, and he and his wife lost a godly daughter to the devil through this method. You would not believe a man several years older than her dad wooed her and took her with him, and she's practicing his ungodly stuff with him. She, for 30-some years, she lived a godly life. It's incredible. And the mother said, she was going to interview this person, and the mother said, "You make sure he doesn't hypnotize you." We have all heard of snake charmers. By the way, let me give you another warning word: charms. Amulets, charms. Doesn't matter if you find them in a Christian store or not. Now, these snake charmers, these big venomous beasts, are charmed to do what the charmer wishes them to do. If you look up amulets on the internet, charms will immediately appear. May I warn you about all of this? Maybe you say, "You know what, Pastor Phil, is everything demonic? Everything's No. There is tons of stuff that isn't demonic. There is a lot of demonic stuff too. We must stay away from. Benoit and Barger connect the sin of our passage also with superstition. By the way, superstition is not foreign to our people. There are numbers of our people who carry superstitions, I think maybe from hundreds of years ago. Funk and Wagnall say superstition that it is a belief founded on irrational feelings, especially of fear, and marked by a trust in or reverence for charms, omens, signs, the supernatural, etc. Also, any rite or practice inspired by such belief. Here is what Benoit and Barger say: charms are all about superstition. Charmers promote charms and cast spells, supposedly to bring good luck or bad. For example, baseball players wear the same cap every day and go through the exact same series of events leading up to each game if they're on a hitting streak, end quote. I remember Wayne Gretzky tucking his shirt in a certain way. Now, I don't know how much was involved in that, but it's supposed to bring this good luck, so. Now, I do not know the difference between what is innocent and what is not. I would say, view it all as not innocent. Just don't go by anything like that. Benoit says he purchased in a Christian bookstore a pocket angel, an angel cut out of a penny. It came with a card that promised wonderful things. Warning. Sometimes trolls are used for good luck. Some think if a black cat crosses the road in front of you, that's a bad sign. So these are all superstitions. Some will not walk under a ladder. Some think that Friday the 13th is a bad sign. Some motels won't have a 13th floor and so on. Maybe all don't, I don't know. Some carry a rabbit's foot in their pocket and so on. See, listen, we are not, Canaan is not way, way back there. It is here. Think each superstition through carefully and see if one is not taking advice for life from some superstition or demon rather than from God. I am not saying that you get a demon every time you do something like this, but it is possible that these things will open the door to demons. By the way, I'm just going to insert a word. I talked to Ken Abdel the other day. I said, do you ever have people who, where the demons profess they came in through water witching? He said, oh, yes. said, do you ever have people who profess demons came in through a deck of cards? Oh, yes. And then he told me the story. I do not know the answer to all of these things. You know what? It's worth it to be aware and stay away from it, isn't it? So for our last point this morning, we go to our text once more. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Now it is difficult to know whether in the last phrases, a medium or spiritist or one who calls up the dead, are meant to be three different occultic practices, or whether it speaks of one practice. I know Benoit and Barger treated as three different ones. Merle Unger says the whole expression could be rendered, he who inquires of the departed spirit that is knowing, even he who seeks unto the dead. That's how he interprets this last part, or says it's possible. I am not a Hebrew scholar, but even those who are find these phrases difficult. However, it may be that these three all refer to seeking information regarding the future by consulting the dead. In another message, we will look at Saul and the witch at Endor. She was knowledgeable in seeking information from the dead. This is called in Scripture the sin of necromancy. That word simply comes from the Greek word dead, nekros, necromancy. As the rest of these practices, it is a demonic practice. Now, let me say something here, as kindly as I can. Our Mennonite people are susceptible to some dangerous things. If they can find medical help or something in something questionable, it seems to me they use no discernment. Could I warn you this morning? So I'm going to deal with these last three as referring to contacting the dead. Barger and Benoit connect seances and channeling with this sin. A seance is where several people sit in an organized session to communicate with the spirits of the dead. In an internet article on how to conduct a seance, it's said those involved should be ready before they start. By the way, check this on the internet. How do you do this? Huh? You can find it all there. Warn. In the internet article on how to conduct a seance, it said those involved should be ready before they start with the questions they want to ask from the dead. By the way, are Christians susceptible to doing this? No. Mother, dad, grandpa passed away. I want to make connection. Then they stressed that the atmosphere had to be right and the light should not be too bright, and they should have a method of communication such as a glass or a pen and paper or a Ouija board through which the medium can communicate with the spirit. Then they stressed that once the seance starts, no one is to leave or enter the room. They said it was important for a member of the family of the deceased person to be present, if possible, and if the person was long dead, to have something there that had been that person's possession. Then they said that many times it is due to worldly attractions. This is the spiritists themselves that say this. Many times it is due to worldly attractions that many spirits come to this world, and also you need magnetic energy to bring the spirit down. People coming to the seance must have an open mind. Could I warn you about open-mindedness? By the way, I'll warn you about that in the church. Contemplative prayer is nothing else than some of this, opening the mind. Then they say negative vibes. Oh, whenever I hear this word vibes, I get vibes. Negative. Negative vibes from unbelievers can act as a hindrance in the path of the spirit. Usually the group sits in a circle, sometimes holding hands. Then the article said that the group should start with a hymn. Hymn or prayer or chant. Oh, there's so much going on in the church today. It's no different than some of this. Asking the spirit to come down and communicate. Well, instructions were given on how to carry the seance out and how to end it. Warning was also given that sometimes unwanted spirits might turn up as well. Listen, contemplative prayer preachers, a warning, because when you empty your mind, unwanted spirits might come. These are preachers who are endorsing the teaching. It is unbelievable. My name slipped my mind right now. Who can name big speakers for emerging church? Brian McClure. These people. Rob Bell. And then at the conclusion, it said, communicating with the dead is no joke. This is right. And then they said, also, do not try this alone if you are not an expert, as the consequences might be bad. Barger and Benoit say channeling is the occult. Channeling is such a common word today. Is the occult, now new age practice of lending one's mind. This will be worth writing down. Channeling is in the occult is the practice of lending one's mind and body to the spirit world to be used in communicating with the dead. Lending one's mind to them to be used for this. When you open the mind, you never know who you're going to lend it to. This same thing has transpired during seances for centuries, they write. But in our time, the twist is that the channeler now speaks as if it is actually the deceased person or entity being contacted who is doing the speaking. It is as if the channeler's mind, body, mouth, even hands. See, there is a thing called automatic writing. Have you heard of this? That's just simply opening your body to be used by a demon to do the writing, where they are taken over for a time while a spirit from beyond uses it. In their book, they say, and I quote, when Shirley MacLaine released her book, Out on a Limb, in January of 1984, it cracked the dike of Hollywood's secretive silence concerning the New Age and occultic practices. Soon star, that's Hollywood star after star, paraded forward to give homage to either their channeler or the spirit whom they had come to trust. They write of Hillary Clinton, who depended for years on the guidance of a spirit claiming to be that of the deceased former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Today, so-called important people from all over America are consulting spirits. It is the same that Saul sought to do from the woman at Endor. And so in conclusion, I really stretched this message this morning. I'd like to ask you this morning, how many of you have heard of crop circles? I want to ask another question. Does anybody know of any crop circle happening in this area? Anybody? I expected to see this. Well, I stretched this kind of as far as I dared, and I must confess it is too brief, but I want to make these books available in the library for those who want to seek further. We are in a day where parents need to be aware. Parents. But I trust it is enough to show us how it was when Israel took the land of Canaan and how close to that kind of time we are today. I trust that this brief expose will give you discernment in a lot of things that we have not covered. Today, we need wisdom in every direction in this subject. I was talking with Warren Smith the other day, and I said, by the way, Warren, I heard someone say, maybe it's someone here, if you can help me where this is found, I'd be glad for it. He'd like to have it as well. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. That's worth knowing. Lord bless you.